All right. Well, tonight I want to talk about dreams, dreaming big and having big plans. So all you practical people, all you down-to-earth ones have probably already switched off, but come back. I'll promise I'll try my best not to make it too airy-fairy. I really just want to share, along the lines of our theme this year, my God encounter that I had at Arise. So lots of you would know that there's a group of us girls that had the opportunity to go down to a church conference in Wellington. So, yep, sounds like a bit of me. Few days away with my friends, child-free in a cool city. And so I was in for a bit of fun. It was all good. And but after the very first session, I felt challenged. And I was there to have fun and relax and be encouraged and all that stuff that you get from a conference. And I really felt like God was saying, right, it's time to start dreaming bigger, to start thinking bigger in all areas of my life, with my family, future that we have, for my kids, to not put a downer on them when they want to be rock stars and astronauts, and especially my role as a leader, and to start hoping for things that right now seem far off and a bit impossible, to have long-term goals and aspirations that are way bigger than what I can just do on my own. Now, I feel like my whole life I've been surrounded by dreamers, by big thinkers. Dad, obviously. He has not only got a big vision for our church, but I remember growing up on the farm, we'd often have unusual breeds of animals, like a new type of sheep Dad wasn't afraid to think out of the box when it came to farming and business. Even Jordan. I reckon that Jordan is actually a bit of an inventor. Like, if there's a problem on the farm, he'll just get out his welder and think up something to find a solution. He's awesome like that. And of course, I married one. Nathan comes up with some big ideas that scare me at times. But what I love about him is that he's a real optimistic guy. He's always positive and has that can-do attitude. And of course, the worship team, you know, I'm surrounded by really creative people that are like, oh, we could do this and we could do that. It's cool. It's really awesome thing to have in your life, I think, as big dreamers. It pushes you. But as for me, I'm quite practical, probably a bit on the boring side. I'm quite happy just going day to day living and not that much of a big dreamer. But I love lists. Lists are like awesome to me. I have lists for everything. If we go on holiday, I have a packing list. I have day-to-day job lists, then I have lists at work as well. I have grocery lists and Christmas lists. I have lists for my kids of things they have to do when they get home from school. I really like to have a list for Nathan, but that would probably just be annoying. So, I actually have a little bit of a confession tonight, and I'm sure some of you might have done this too. Hopefully you can relate. It's something I used to do. I don't do it so much now. So I used to write down things on my list that I'd actually already done just so I could have that really good feeling of being able to tick it off. And I don't like having anything on my list that's unachievable. It needs to be enough to keep me motivated and on task for the day. But by the end of the day, I want to know that I've achieved all that I've set out to do. So I'm not going to go putting things on my list that I know that I'm not going to get done. What's the point if there was never that intention anyway? I'd just get to the end of the day and feel like I hadn't really succeeded. And if I'm totally honest, that's actually how I feel about dreams, is that it's a bit like putting something on your list that you're not sure you'll achieve. They're a bit out of reach, far off, maybe a bit unrealistic, and you're dangerously setting yourself up for discouragement. There is, however, a few things that I've dreamed for, I've hoped for, and I had the faith for, and I really believe that they were God intended. The first one is our house project. This is our house that Nathan and I bought just before we got married. It was awesome. We love this little pad, eh? It's our little box. It was an awesome start. But we had a dream for a family home, more like this one. We dreamed for something that was big enough for a few kids that we could create lots of memories in, be there long term, really put some roots down in this place and in our community. We could have friends over, you know, all the things that you hope for in a home. And it's what both Nathan and I had growing up. We wanted that for our family too. So it was about 8 years ago now. Nathan and I were on holiday over at Mount Maunganui, and we saw a house for removal. It was pretty well priced. It had everything and more that we wanted. We did the measurements and the math and decided that this was totally meant to be. It was just an amazing opportunity. So we went about relocating this house. And we were pretty excited about it, and it really felt like it was a God thing. Everything was falling into place. We had friends that were amazing. They helped us out with the engineering. We'd managed to convince Mum and Dad, they were incredible, to have us stay for just a couple of weeks while this project went on. We'd organised our storage. It was all happening for us. But like most big projects, they end up costing you way more than you expect. And of course, they take three times longer than you'd planned. And this house actually got pretty out of control for us. There was hidden expense after expense after expense. And it actually got really overwhelming, especially for me. I was emotional as it was. I was pregnant with Tila at the time, and the bills were coming in a lot faster than our wages were. And eventually we got to the point where we couldn't borrow any more money from the bank, and we had a big bond with the council for them just to make sure we were going to finish the project. And so we really were skunked. We had to finish, but we had no more money. We ended up having to borrow some money off Mum and Dad, and who were already housing us and feeding us and putting up with us, and we weren't sure when we were going to pay it back by. And for me, it was actually a massive disappointment. As much as I was super grateful to them for helping us out, I felt like it was an opportunity and a dream that God had given us that in reality we couldn't do on our own. And the second one, for me, was my Auntie Sally. Most of you know she had Huntington's disease. And I believed that God showed me that she would be healed. I even had a dream about it, and so many of you guys did this journey with us, and you prayed for her like I did for years and years, believing for her healing. I really had the faith to believe that she'd be healed, but she wasn't. And it was about 3 years ago now that she died. And it was really quite a big shock for me. I started to wonder how I could have heard from God so wrong, whether he'd ever do a miracle in this day and age, and just all those things that go on in your head when something like that happens. I'm sure you guys have had experiences like that too. I think sometimes we can start out full of faith with big hopes and dreams and then get knocked back a bit by disappointments. But what I felt like God showed me at a Rise conference was that by being surrounded by visionaries, these awesome dreamers and big thinkers, and having a few knockbacks along the way, that I'd taken it upon myself to be the realist, and that I'd actually, without even realizing, to be honest, downsized my dreams to make them more manageable and achievable in my own strength. And in doing so, I was pushing out the need for God, and I was limiting what he could do in my life by my small-mindedness. Now, when I was a kid, I used to have quite small feet. I kind of still do, actually, but I don't mind them now. And I remember asking Mum if she could buy me shoes that were a size or two bigger. I just figured that if my shoes were the same size as everybody else's, then no one would notice that my feet were actually quite little. The only problem with this is that by having shoes that are too big, that you're not used to having feet that long, and obviously you get a bit clumsy and uncomfortable until you grow into them, which I did eventually. And Joey, my little two-year-old, one of his favourite things to do at the moment is to go and find our shoes and put them on, and of course he's two, and so they're miles too big, and so what he wants us to do is to hold his hand and walk him around while he's clonking around in these big shoes. He just thinks that's great. And I think actually that's the way that dreams are meant to be. Our hopes, our aspirations are firstly to be something that we grow into, and secondly, something we're unable to easily do without holding God's hand along the way. Now, looking back, while at the time with our house project, it was hideous being totally stretched financially, I can see now that it was actually probably good for us. It was really a growing time. We learned a lot, not just about dealing with councils and banks and builders, but I think it was good for our marriage. Was it good for our marriage? Maybe. I think it was. We're still together. We had to learn to really trust God and learn to tithe even when it was hard. And we did get there in the end. And we're feeling super blessed now. We've got a house that's perfect for our four awesome kids, and it's a family home that we've got that we'll be in forever. And we even recently got it carpeted like 2 weeks ago. So we're stoked. We're loving it. And even with my Auntie Sally, you know, I'm sure she's so much better off in heaven than she would be even if she was healed on earth. Now, obviously, it's easy for me to say that now, looking back, but what I'm realizing is that the journey towards the things that we dream and hope and plan for is actually just as important as getting there. And it's on that road that we so often learn and grow so much. Psalm 147:11 says, "The Lord delights in those who depend on him." I reckon God actually loves us to have a bit of a challenge along the way, a bit of a dream that's too big for us. Because instead of us being able to do it all on our own, we actually have to rely on him. We have to lean in. We have to pore over his word, searching and looking for the answers, and just trust that he's going to hold our hand along the way while we're in those big shoes. And it gives him room to move, gives space for the miraculous, and gives him a chance to get the glory instead of us. So the challenge really for me is to be brave enough to start dreaming really big dreams again And for you natural dreamers, that's not a big deal, but, you know, for me it is. To risk the odd disappointment and do the journey just relying on Him, knowing that He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask, think according to His power that works in us. He really is a good God. And the awesome thing about God is that He can see the start to the finish. He has the ultimate big dream in mind. And He works all things together for our good.